Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for the next hour on this November the 9th on the West Coast, now November the 10th, 2009, on the East Coast and in the Central Time Zones. We also would like to welcome those listening on Wind Talkers Radio Network around the world, especially welcoming those in the U.S. military, as well as on blogtalkradio.com. Well, I had a very, very interesting 2 hours with Drew Raines on a Marine's disquisition today, and we talked about a lot of things, some research that I did over the weekend. We had this fiasco going on at Fort Hood in Killeen, Texas, and there's been a lot of, I have to say, just outright lies being told through the mainstream media. I had one of those moments where you get to listen to 10 or 15 minutes of drive time AM radio, and I listened to a show. I won't even mention the host of that show, but it was on mainstream Clear Channel radio, and the outright lies. You see, now they've twisted this story that this is Al-Qaeda, this is a terrorist, this is somebody that's against the United States, and you're not hearing the half of the truth that's going, or should be told about the reality of that event. I've talked about this on a few shows last week, as well as one show this afternoon, and I can tell you the lies just keep a-coming. They compound the lies with another lie when a lie gets exposed for what it is. And it caused me to wonder, okay, what should we talk about on tonight's show? Well, we have a guest who's quite capable of talking about a lot of things that are currently going on. In fact, most likely this issue. And yet, there seems to be this willingness to succumb to these ploys or these plots, these scams, to induce you into a state of fear and a state of total chaos and utter confusion, nothing based in reality, certainly not based upon the truth. And I thought to myself, you know, what should I talk about? How should I open my show tonight? And I suppose I could refer to a phone conversation which I had with a very intelligent and very conscious young man today. We won't even mention this person's name other than to say this is one of the most conscious people I've talked to in recent years, not to mention recent days, hours, or minutes. And this is someone who's seeing the game that's going on and actually really concerned about his role in helping humanity understand that, you know, we've been sold down the pike a long time ago, and we've been accepting illusions for reality. And a lot of people don't seem to really care. They don't really care about the fact that they're being lied to. They're being lied to by their leaders. They're falling for this story that their leaders care about them and that they're going to give them a good quality of life. And yet, while they make these promises and while they take trillions of dollars to make this possible, because they tell us they need those trillions of dollars to pull this off, we watch the quality of life sink to a lower level, a lower vibration, almost moment to moment. And I know it's not just me. I hear this. I hear the confusion in the voices of people that call into these mainstream shows. I resent the fact that they pay these people to intentionally lie, and I know quite a bit about the truth of what's gone on at Fort Hood. And, I mean, this talk show host that I listen to is so brainwashable that there's nothing left even to wash of his brains, or he's a minion, and I suspect the latter, actually. To me, he sounds just like a CIA agent. He doesn't sound like a talk show host. His goal is to try a person on the basis of what the rest of his lying, filthy cohorts in the mainstream media put out for your consumption. And we don't use discernment for some reason. As a species, we are pitiful. The animal kingdom, the plant kingdom, the mineral kingdom, even the demonic kingdom, to an extent, uses a little bit of discernment. It knows what it is. And for some reason, human beings have just, they've missed the boat totally. So on tonight's show, regardless of what we talk about, I'm not going to ask you to believe what you hear. I never really ask you to believe anything you hear. I always encourage you to seek the knowledge yourself, do some research, arrive at your own conclusions, and take responsibility for the choices that you make. And that's where we are today. So many are willing to blindly accept these lies, these statements that are made to defame a person, to create the pretense for another war. It's like they're using this event now to drum up hatred for Muslim people so that they can attack Iran and justify it. Because that's their goal. That's just one of the goals. And who is behind this event? I can tell you by doing a little bit of research on Virginia Tech. I mean, this is one big mind control psyop, as many other events have been. There have been other murders committed there besides the big shootout that you heard about in the past year or two. And I think that took place around April of 2007, in fact. 32 people were shot and killed. And it turned out that the guy who did the shooting had a sister who worked for the CIA. And I would even suspect to go so far as to say the guy who was the shooter also worked for the CIA, on the basis of the research I did. There was a beheading at Virginia Tech in January of this year. It didn't hit the mainstream media, but boy, a little girl turns up missing, and CNN and Headline News will run that 24 hours a day, month after month after month, like they did Michael Jackson's demise. And then, are they telling you the truth? What's being done? Who's been arrested? You see, and they're not telling you the truth on this Fort Hood thing, as they're not telling you the truth about the swine flu. And I have something to report later on in the show in that regard, regarding a guest that I'm going to have on the show. In fact, this guest has agreed, if I can get tonight's guest to agree to this, to come on with tonight's guest on a future show and talk about a very interesting issue that very few people in the country know about, because it slaps this ruse, this swine flu pandemic, in the face. Actually, it punches it in the face, gloves off, with bare knuckles. So with that, use your discernment, please. Enjoy tonight's show. I welcome back a man that I have great respect for. He's been writing a series of articles on why you should not get a flu shot of any kind. In fact, he describes in many, many ways, ways you can protect yourself from the very things that the flu pandemic vaccine is supposed to protect you from. And he is a naturopath. He is also a host of his own show, The Story Behind the Story, both on republicbroadcasting.org as well as the Rent Radio Network. And his name is Dr. A. True Ott. Dr. Ott, welcome to the show.
Well, thank you so much, Don. A pleasure to be on the show again. And hope you're having as good a Monday as I've had. You couldn't have had a worse Monday. It's been fun. It seems like everything's not working right today. But the day's over, and that's good news. So Tuesday's going to be better.
Yes, yes. Well, it's been a crazy day. Things got crazy last night. For some reason, everybody chose Sunday night to begin emailing everybody, me included, and I got just a deluge of stories. And there, again, all this disinformation coming out about what's going on in the Ukraine and what's going on with the shots and the victims and the hospitals. And I got tired of looking at it, really, because we're talking to people there, especially through Drew Raines and his contacts in the Ukraine, and they're not telling us what's really going on in the Ukraine. I've alluded to that on several shows. I've heard others, even yourself, talking about the fudging of the numbers. They just double them whenever they feel like doing it, and add a couple hundred thousand here, or just multiply the whole number by two, and create this fear, because we've got to get these vaccines out, and we've got to get them into people's bodies, and we've got to get people dead. You know, I can't come to any other conclusion that that the people, or the majority of people that have received vaccines, are having very adverse effects. With one exception, in fact, I referenced it very vaguely. Desiree Jennings has returned to something a bit more like her former self before she got the vaccine. Thanks to Dr. Rashid A. Buttar. And, in fact, I invited Dr. Buttar to come to the show and discuss some of the homeopathic techniques that he's using. Basically, he worked on Desiree Jennings 36 hours straight to grab her from the jaws of death. And she's actually talking and moving around, walking. She's not fully out of the woods, in his words, but she is. She's also not dying right now. Now, the mainstream media is trying to say that this is all in her head, that it was in her head from the beginning. Unfortunately for them, Dr. Buttar has videotaped this entire process of addressing her illness and bringing her back to a more sound state of health. So it's going to be very interesting. In fact, he's interested in reading some of your work, so I'm going to be sending him some things by his request. Just a remarkable man, I have to tell you, from what I've learned of his participation in saving that girl's life. It's a miraculous story.
Mm-hmm. That's excellent.
So there is hope, but I want him to come onto the show. Not that he's going to say anything that you haven't said, or Dr. Bill Deagle, or Andrew S. Jones, or any of the other knowledgeable people that you've had on your show and interviewed about this issue of this bogus swine flu pandemic and the dangers of the vaccines. This is from the healing side. I think it would be fascinating to hear him describe the process of what has to be overcome, the amount of damage that these vaccines can cause in a person.
Mm-hmm.
So, any thoughts on that?
Well, absolutely. You know, the homeopathic is, there's a lot to that, because as you know, every cell in the body talks with each other, the central nervous system is controlled by electromagnetic impulses, and whenever you have a toxic load that comes in, whether you know if this this cheerleader probably being a health active cheerleader type, you know, would want to probably take a lot of these protein drinks. So I know a lot of the cheerleaders. My daughter's been into that for quite a while, and mm-hmm. we just try and teach her don't take so much of this these high energy drinks. These, you know, they give you a boost of energy, because you know, over time it just starts to create a toxic load. And then on top of that, you get a shot that is full of some heavy metals, thimerosal aerosol, and other things. It's picture in your mind a camel that has just been loaded down with a lot of bundles of wood, and it's pretty strong camel. It can take a good load, but there's a certain breaking point where you add just one more bundle, and that poor camel just breaks down and knees buckle and just can't move any longer. And this is what happens so often to these active women. It seems like the more active they are, the more at risk they are to have this type of reaction. And Desiree Jennings was obviously in that category. Now, the only real way to get her back is to stimulate the body to dump those toxins and do it through, again, the homeopathic remedies are the way to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, her condition was caused, for all intents and purposes, it's assumed that it was caused by the vaccination, and she was in a state of dystonia.
Mm-hmm.
And I presume that's basically a loss of muscle tone and really, I would say, is it a combination of a nervous and muscular disorder together? In other words,
well, yeah, the brain and the central nervous system aren't firing on all cylinders. It's like a misfiring of a car engine. Okay,
mm-hmm.
The pistons just aren't stroking correctly. So, what was strange is you saw that she could run. Down the street she could run, and while she's running she could talk and do everything normal. But the minute she slowed up and stopped running, she was totally catatonic. So, that's a classic example.
Mm-hmm.
The body's resting stimulus is totally off, but in a high energy, high caloric burning exercise, she did fine and was wonderful. That's why the mainstream would look at her and say, well, she's obviously, faking this. But no, that's exactly, the Guillain-Barré syndrome and all that is quite common.
Yeah, well, they're saying, well, it's in her head. Well, is that a pun on the attack upon the brain by the heavy metals in her system? Here you have these pundits in the media that all of a sudden become experts on this, and you have the mainstream medical community is lying outright about the dangers of these. If they were not, why would other doctors come out and say that they are lying?
Well, we've had a series of interviews with some Gardasil victims on my show, The Story Behind mm-hmm. the Story, and these victims are real-time mainstream people. I mean, it seems like, again, the majority of these victims on Gardasil, and we're talking about girls now that are totally crippled and are not expected to live too long, and there's been over 48 deaths that we've documented from this vaccine. Now, what happens there is, they have these same type of reactions where they go into muscular convulsions and have these seizures. Many times they are just totally non-responsive, and if they're lucky, they survive them. This is bizarre stories going on with this Gardasil. Now, when Gardasil first came out back in 2006, there was all of these supposed safety studies that were conducted. The FDA, of course, approved the drug as safe and effective. But the one gal I interviewed on the show, and her mother's name is Roxy. This gal's name is Brittany. In fact, you can go on YouTube and see her in 4.5 minutes. She tells her story. That just go on YouTube and you can just type in "a Gardasil victim speaks out after 2 years." And a lot of what we had done with our radio interview spurred her to come out and do this public thing. Such a tragic story, And it's just, there's thousands of these girls, Don, thousands of them.
Mm-hmm.
It's just amazing. But my point is, when Brittany went in to get her first shot in a series of three, and by the way, this is $150 per shot, do the math. There's 45% of all women in that young women in those demographics from age 14 to 24 in this nation that have taken these series of shots.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, you've got she explained how strange she felt when they came and had her sign a waiver before they would administer the first shot, and the waiver basically said that she agreed there was risk involved with this shot and that she was willing to take the risk, but she would signed off that she would stay under the clinic's observation for 15 minutes to see if she would have a seizure. Now, what that tells you is this is quite a regular, commonplace thing to have these young girls have seizures after the first vaccination. The first shot. So why do they keep doing it is the question. You know, our support group, Cynthia Janik out of Chicago, and others that have, other mothers that have really joined forces now and become experts in this, just last week had a conference call with the FDA, and the FDA had listened, and but they're not going to recall this drug. No way. There's no way.
Too much money to be made.
Too much money, and worse, there's no compensation for these victims.
Mm-hmm.
Listen to Brittany's 4.5 minutes, and tell me if you just don't have, you know, have a hard and heavy heart listening to her, because you have to realize that her story multiplied times 3,000 to 4,000.
Mm-hmm. Well, we're going to take a call in a moment here, Dr. Ott, but I wanted to just make a quick statement and say that the efficacy of the treatments that Dr. Buttar gave Desiree Jennings centered around his ability to remove the toxicity from her body. And this occurred over a 36-hour period. She was literally in respiratory failure and moving into seizures, regular repetitive seizures every 40 to 45 seconds.
Right.
At the time that he began treating her. In fact, he couldn't even examine her. She was in so much discomfort. And the process of the exam, as he described it, spawned further seizures, which, you know, she was virtually, I think, at the end of the rope there. And it's quite miraculous what he accomplished.
Well, I'd like to talk with him, exchange techniques, because, you know, people like Brittany, she's, I believe, there in your state. These, you know, these young girls need some answers. They need some help.
Mm-hmm.
I tell you, and they need to get back and make their voices heard. So you bet we need to make it available to these Gardasil girls as well.
Yes. Well, I hope you don't mind us taking a call. We've got Barry in California. I believe it's California now. It could be Canada. It says CA here. And these days it means either one or the other. But Barry, are you with us, and where are you calling from?
I am calling from California.
Okay. All right. Very good. Question or comment on your mind?
I need to ask Dr. Ott. My girlfriend's son, earlier tonight, got the swine flu. He took his wife to the county hospital for a CAT scan for her back. And when he came home, he got really sick. He had a 105 temperature, and he could hardly breathe. What can he do to get better from it faster? I told him vitamin A, vitamin C, and vitamin D3.
Yes.
Because I read that from Dr. Tenpenny's website.
Yeah, that's the best way to go. You've got to remember that As far as the mineral kingdom, silver is a powerful antiviral. Okay, as opposed to, you know, antibiotics don't do anything for viruses, and the vitamins that Dr. Tenpenny espouses, what they do is basically keep the cellular membranes more rigid and intact, so the virus really can't destroy the cells. And you know, the body's immune response, the high fever, and that it's typical in the 72-hour period. Most of the time, that will take care of the problem. Don't be alarmed and fearful about that. But if it's 105 is quite high. I would try and keep it down with some cool ice packs and whatnot to bring it down somewhat.
Yeah, he had his wife put him in a shower, a cold shower, and it went down to 102. The ice packs are also good.
Well, that's good. The cold shower, a tepid bath is also bring it down. But just keep it.
Would it get to the point where his breathing gets really bad? Does she need to take him to the hospital?
Well, you should watch that. Again, we're kind of there's a possibility that this virus can be mutating into something bad if it gets into the lungs. Having a vaporizer works well as well.
Okay.
You can actually vaporize water that you have silver particles with the water, and vaporizing those and breathing those in will help
okay.
the lungs too. So,
Dr. Rott, I have a question here for Barry. Barry, he went to the hospital because of this fever, and he was diagnosed.
No. He took his wife to the last place he went to before he came back home. He took his wife to get a CAT scan at a county hospital because he's only collecting unemployment. His money is very, very low, so they have to go to county hospital, which they, when you're in low income, they'll take you in. And she was having a CAT scan done, and that was the last place he was at. And, you know, you got people going there for the swine flu shots or if they're sick, you know, he had to get it from there, he thinks.
Yeah.
Well, who told him he has the swine flu? That's the first thought that entered my mind when you mentioned
well,
it.
Well, it's just that the symptoms that he has, he thinks he has it.
Well, he thinks he does. Well, you know, probably, you know, Dr. Rott, I don't know how you feel about this, but some specialist should examine him and determine what it is that he has.
Well, the problem we have, Don, is the healthcare workers have been told and programmed to tell everybody they have swine flu. And
that's what I'm. That's why I'm saying what I'm saying.
It could be the seasonal flu. The bottom line is, it doesn't matter if it's swine or seasonal. He's sick.
Right.
And, you know, there's not much danger if he's relatively healthy with no underlying health conditions. You know, if he's asthmatic or has diabetes, perhaps there's a greater risk. But most, whether it's swine flu or the season, a really bad seasonal flu, a lot of people are catching these from these clinics where they've been administering this doggone flu mist nasal spray, because that's a live virus. People that receive this in their noses, they are spreading this over everything they touch for 2 to 3 weeks after getting the shot, the injection.
Mm-hmm.
But I told my girlfriend, if he gets really bad where he has to go to the hospital, do not get the Thermoflu?
Tamiflu.
Tamiflu, and not to get the vaccine shots at all.
Yeah, the vaccine's absolutely no good at this stage if he's already contracted it. He just needs to just relax. The breathing gets labored. Well, then he, you know, again, get one of those vaporizers going. And
What about oil of oregano? Because I had some of that.
Well, that's good to be atomized as well and breathe it
okay,
in.
Okay, great.
you can rub that right on into the skin as well if it's not. It needs to be diluted though. Okay, don't rub it on.
Right, right. I know that. I told her that.
Yeah, you bet.
Also, one more thing, Dr. Art. I was listening to Alex Jones Friday, and he wants to get some experts on for the mind control. And I know you've dealt with that, and you've helped people deprogram from that.
I surely have.
If you could get a hold of Alex Jones, he's going to have it on in a couple weeks. Experts on mind control.
Well, it's.
Is he going to have Henry Kissinger on too?
I don't know who he's going to have on.
Well,
I don't think he'd have him on there, but you know, you're definitely one of the top experts, Dr.
Yes, I'd be happy to if invited.
If he lets you go on, that's the problem.
Yeah, I'd be honored to do that with him. He just needs to ask me.
And Don, when you took over for Dr. Art last week, that was an excellent show on that hospital that was taking advantage of the kids. That's terrible.
Well, thank you. That story came my way via researcher webmaster Ken Adachi. And, you know, Ken does his best to work with people from all walks of life. And that it is a very, very serious story. There's a lot more to that story, too, that has to come out. We haven't even scratched the surface.
Are you going to have another, are you going to have that on again, or?
Well, we may do that? It through my show, especially the dimension of that story that has to come out, or possibly on Dr. Ott's show. That's up to him, you know, if he wants to have us on. We did bring that out on his show. We felt that it was something that his audience would appreciate, and I'm glad to hear you say that because, you know, we never know unless we hear the feedback from the listeners.
It just totally blew my mind away that they would take advantage of kids like that with their blood, and it's just absolutely from hell.
Well, we're not trying to monger fear. What we're doing is just bringing the truth forward and allowing people to make their own decisions about these things. But certainly our heart goes out to that family. They're suffering immensely from what's going on just by coming out and revealing these horrible truths to us. So, you know, really the hat is tipped to Marcy, who came forth.
Yeah. Hearing her talk about it, you could tell that she's sincere, and she's speaking from the heart.
Oh, yes. She's been very, very adversely affected by this, and we haven't even scratched the surface of some of the information that she brought forth. You can't do it in a two-hour show, and I don't even think you can do it in a four-hour show.
Hello?
Sure. Drew?
Yes,
Drew,
hello.
Still with us?
Something's really strange happening.
What's happening at your end?
It just feels like somebody's shuffling with some static. It's really, really strange. I've never heard this before.
Okay. All right. I'm getting a message that I'm cutting out, but I'm not hearing anything change on my end, so I don't know what's going on.
Yeah, it's
the gremlins.
I feel like somebody's scraping sandpaper and shuffling things. It's really...
Oh, yeah. Okay. Well, Barry, thank you for your call, and do call in again. I hope everything works out for your friend there. Oh, maybe he's gone. Maybe we lost him.
Lost Barry.
Okay.
Well, you know, Don, I wanted to talk to you about... over the weekend, I took... Joan and we went and saw that movie with George Clooney, The Men Who Stare at Goats. After, you know, reading the book by the same name by John Ronson, I wanted to see what liberties they took with the storyline, and my golly, they surely did take a lot of liberties. I wanted to see how Ronson felt about that. I'd like to have him on as a guest to tell his research and what he really was not allowed to put in the book itself, okay? The story of the Menastera goats is about Major General Albert Stubblebean, Bert Stubblebean, and his really his wife, Rima Labow, how they formed the 1st Earth Battalion, Earth Firsters here, ladies and gentlemen, and getting into a series of experiments, basically, to produce a super soldier, okay? And that's really what the theme was on the movie end. But I'll tell you, it just touched barely touched the truth, the surface of the truth. They of course changed the name of Stubblebean. The person that played him was they changed that storyline quite a bit as well. What I wanted to bring out was one of the factual truths of the book was there at Fort Benning. They were experimenting a la the MK Ultra CIA programs with some of the 1st Earth Battalion recruits, and it was involving expanding the mind through lysergic acid, the LSD structures, a la Timothy Leary. And this fellow they were experimenting on happened to be the son of a Pentagon brass, colonel or general, I'm not sure what his rank was. But this guy wigged out, walked out bare naked to the middle of the parade grounds with all of the troops there, and had a weapon and was wanted to start shooting and killing his fellow comrades. Luckily, he turned the gun on himself and killed himself before he did too much killing of the other soldiers. Now the parallels to that in Fort Hood are just amazing, amazingly similar. You have an individual of a psychiatric background. He's studied in psychology, obviously doing some counseling work and the prescription of certain psychotic drugs. I understand he was part of a specialty unit there at Fort Hood, and I think the story behind the story, Ken, is as Ken would say, if he gets into this this mind control MK Ultra structure, this guy was a Manchurian that just went nuts, no doubt about it from my research. And I want to just throw that comparison out there with the Menastera goats. Rima Labow, of course, is a psychiatrist by profession, and how she can camouflage that by the Natural Solutions Foundation is beyond me. They're about as opposite of that as flying to the moon. But it's a cover. It's a cover for their operations.
Oh, no doubt about it. In fact, I brought this out on a Drew Rain show today, and it's worth sharing here with my listening audience. Just a little bit of research, and actually, you know, we have some people out there in the military that are looking these things up, and this came from a retired U.S. Air Force officer. Nadal Malik Hassan graduated from Virginia Tech with a biochemistry degree at the Center for Applied Behavior Systems.
There you go. Mind control all the way.
Yes, a U.S. Psychological Warfare Training Center.
There you go.
All right. Now, in addition to that, he got his medical degree from the military's Uniformed Services University of the Health Sciences in Bethesda, Maryland in 2001, home of MKUltra.
There you go.
Okay. The military's U.S. Center for the Study of Traumatic Stress took their website down a couple of days ago. When the day I got this email, it's mentioned within the email, and that was correct. Hassan was researching radio hypnotic intracerebral control, electronic dissolution of memory, or what they call RHIC-EDAM. That is a CIA project.
The men is there, goats times two.
Okay. Now, we called this from the get-go, and I say we, many other talk show hosts, many other researchers knew instinctively that this was a psyop. In fact, it's always follow the money. And I had asked someone if a C-130 could land or take off at that airport there on the base. There's it's actually an airstrip. And I was told, yes, it's possible, that the runway is about 10,000 feet long, 200 feet wide. You can just about land or take off with any aircraft. And we got a message today that there was a C-130 there. Why I asked that, I guess that was my sense, that was the plane that was there. But I also described many choppers, and that was described as well as on the scene. Now, what is really interesting, there's another dimension that's not coming out in the mainstream media. And I, if I can take a moment and read this to you, I think you're going to find this rather revealing, because we're hearing about how evil this person was, that he was a Muslim, and that he was not willing to go to Afghanistan. As I understand it, he wasn't supposed to go to Afghanistan. He hadn't been assigned to go. Here is a quote. In Washington, a senior U.S. official said authorities at Fort Hood initially thought one of the victims who had been shot and killed was the shooter. The mistake resulted in a delay of several hours in identifying Hassan as the alleged assailant. The article goes on. The truth is something very different. Two U.S. privates, John Smith and John Henry, had been seeing a military psychiatrist, Major Hassan, at Fort Hood for a few weeks. Both privates said they were completely against the war of oppression in the Middle East and would refuse to report for active duty if ordered to do so. So the Army put them both in therapy with Dr. Hassan. After more than 5 weeks of therapy, both Christian privates were called to go to Afghanistan. Both privates warned they would not go and they would defend themselves with force if the Army tried to force them to fight in a war they believed was morally wrong. Yesterday, fellow soldiers tried to surprise the two conscientious objectors, but the privates were prepared and killed 12 soldiers who tried to force their way into the private's barracks at Fort Hood. During the melee, their psychiatrist, Major Hassan, tried to talk the two privates into surrendering, but he was shot twice. Finally, both privates were overcome and killed. Their psychiatrist, Major Hassan, is in hospital recovering. Officials of the military have spun the story to make it seem the private's doctor, who has a Muslim-sounding name, was the perpetrator, so that the public does not understand just how much resistance there is to the Middle East war in the military rank and file. And thus, this article here was highly responsible for my opening remarks. This fits the pattern of every other aspect of this that's being kept from the media, or kept from the public by the mainstream media.
Well, see, here you go. Don, let me just jump in. You've got these two privates that are, you know, part of a growing movement among active military to say, as Drew Raines would say, sir, no sir. We refuse to do an unjust occupation. Now they send him to Hassan, who is doing a 5-week program of basically breaking down their mental reservations and reprogramming them. Okay, somewhere something went haywire. They refused any more treatments, obviously, and protected themselves from probably getting a straitjacket placed on them and undergoing some shock treatment, if the truth is known. So mm-hmm. what an incredible story behind the story that is.
Yes. Now, they're little known to the main the masses, and certainly the mainstream has not reported one word on this issue. Is the fact that China recently lent 10,000 tons of gold to the U.S. It would say whether that's the Treasury or the Federal Reserve, I cannot say. We don't know the particulars of that, but there is reference to 10,000 tons of gold. And there have been 1933 and 1934 notes that have been kept there in what they're calling boxes, as well as gold and some other valuables, possibly treasury bonds or securities. I don't have all the details, but there was an attempt, and to me it seemed like a Bush 41 operation. No doubt about it. From top to bottom, it was a PSYOP. If it's a CIA PSYOP, you know Bush is involved. Now, coincidentally, the LA Times reported that George W. Bush and Laura Bush made the 30-mile drive to Killeen, Texas, to the base to console the bereaved families. And they made a special request to the commander of the base to not publicize that fact, but their cover was blown. When
wow.
the Clintons found out about it, they were absolutely infuriated that Bush was there, because they know this money's there. It's been there for 15 years at that base. So the diversion, or this event actually served as a diversion for them to go in there and take out this money. But they got caught.
You're saying that there's 15,000 tons of gold is at Fort Hood?
No, I said 15 years that money's been there. There is a 10,000-ton gold transaction that we know about that occurred between China and the U.S. as a loan.
Okay.
And that may be in New York or Washington, is what I'm saying. But we do know that there were certificates, 1933 and 34 certificates, as well as some gold, maybe gold coins, and some other instruments of great value. And so this was a heist. Specifically, 55 pallets was described as having been picked up. I mean, that would be likely trillions of dollars.
Wow.
In 1933 notes? Definitely. So this was a diversion. Now, you tell me why the Bushes were there, and why they had to have this not made public, but the Times did publicize it, to their chagrin. And there's a rift now between the Bush and the Clinton crime syndicate, which has been operating as a singular entity, stealing left and right. It's amazing, and there's reference to Caribbean accounts as well in this story. So the international financial community is on to this, and these people are in some danger of getting picked up and finally dealt with. And I hope it happens. I really do. But
wow.
You see, we were right about this all along. We took the chance because we understand what's going on behind the scenes and that these events are just psyops. But what the media has done is turned this into another hate campaign of Muslims who
I've also heard the rhetoric, of course, this time to ban guns. It's always a gun issue too.
Yes.
Yeah.
You know, there's a multiplicity of goals that they have going on at the same time. And then while this is going on, what does Congress do? They vote through this health care bill. And then the first thing out of Pelosi's mouth is, well, you buy $15,000 worth of insurance or you spend 5 years in jail. Now, to me, that sounds like extortion. I said that on Drew's show today, and I'll say it again. It's either extortion or blackmail. Take your pick.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what else can you call that? It's not constitutional. It's more of the same fraud, you see. This is all nothing but organized crime and bank fraud. And they create these laws, and they pull off these false flag events to hoodwink everybody into thinking that our country is being infiltrated. It has been infiltrated already, you see.
I saw an interesting commercial from IBM, the IBMer commercial, where it talked about the integrating of healthcare records through the IBM programs, which would then also interface with each person's body to be able to graph what drugs could be custom made for that person. That's the future of healthcare in this country. Well, as you know, IBM has full knowledge of what's being planned as far as the pandemic worldwide flu scam as well. You know, I've said it so many times, I'll say it again, too, on this show. It's not about health care. It's about control. It's about putting the last vestige of privacy out the window. Because there's nothing more private, ladies and gentlemen, than your health care records. That's where, you know, that's where the rubber meets the road for privacy. And if you open this up to IBMer, information technologies, which they've got it all planned. They just need to have the legality and the bill signed to make it a reality. Like I said on my show today, as you know, Don, it's a matter of the technocratic era of that Brzezinski wrote about in 1979. It's the culmination of that plan.
Well, there's no doubt about that. The fact that Kissinger and Brzezinski are both, you know, operating in tandem in this thing, they may have certain loyalties in their various factions of their international cabal. But the problem they're all having is the truth is coming out so fast they can't even deal with it.
And then you look in that book also, and you read the. A whole chapter on the cloning possibilities and the robotic individuals who Brzezinski said and within a very short time and in mere decades you'd have the ascension of these robotic people in leadership positions. I mean, come on. What if that isn't just an indictment on the individual in the White House who can't produce a certificate of live birth? You know, what does this tell you?
Well, I've written about this, I think, more than anyone recently.
Absolutely.
I've exposed IBM's involvement in predicting this or their foreknowledge of this pandemic back in 2006 when they released their interdepartmental memo in France to upper management. Certainly, I talked about the strong possibility that that B.O. himself was created in a test tube using mystical DNA from Egypt and then the sperm of the Rockefeller bloodline. All the evident footprints are there.
Yeah, and then you have Brzezinski himself now, and it's, you know, in 1979 exposing this as reality. The technocratic era.
Well, have you heard of the story called Project Superman? The story of Andy Perot?
I have not. But...
Oh, this is a mind-blowing story. And the story was actually written in Andy Perot's own words, P-E-R-O. He was recruited to play football. For a major college, and in the process of being recruited, you know, he was a linebacker type. They basically put him through a whole program of mind control, and they did things like throw him out of an airplane to land, however he may land, and they created quite an individual out of this program, and he wrote about it. He talked about the doctors that were involved, the very very strange things that they involved him in, currently we understand that he may be imprisoned just to keep him quiet. But this story's been out there for a number of years, and I think Ken Adachi may have that on his site, but if not, you certainly can Google Project Superman and read about that. I think you'll find it fascinating, because it's one such type program that they used these techniques on an individual. I don't know that there were any implants or anything like that occurred, but I wouldn't count that out based upon much of what they do these days. But certainly they would have studied him to the extent that they could use him as a biological sample of what they might try to replicate using electrical or electromagnetic technologies embedded into a person. And, of course, we had stories like the $6 million man Lee Majors played that part. And then we also had the Bionic Woman with Lindsay Wagner. So they were giving us hints at what they were doing, you see.
Right. We can rebuild him stronger and faster than he was before. Yeah, you know, but the cloning and the robiotics that Brzezinski talks about, again, and just reviewing those just this last weekend, I thought, my golly, Don has nailed this one on the head. I mean, absolutely on point.
I have to admit, I hadn't read his book, but it wouldn't surprise me that he would have made that statement. And I don't know that reading it would make me change in my opinions about any of the research and that I did.
It just gives corroboration.
Well, I'm gratified to know that. Thank you. That's testament to intuition too. You know,
yeah.
That one could come to those conclusions without that information.
Well, I just get I hear all these different ages, thrown out there of BO's date of birth, and it fluctuates all the time.
Mm-hmm.
There's just so much evidence this man is a clone robiotic, just in the words of Brzezinski. To pull the curtain back and see the people making all of the policy decisions for him, you have Kissinger and Brzezinski doing it. Just very bizarre coincidence.
Yes, and this is this network keeps playing itself out through history, doesn't it?
It does.
They've been involved in world wars, all the wars since World War II. They're at every step of the way. And to hear the stories that some of these women who were in these programs, what they called the presidential models, the Bryce Taylors of the world, or Cisco Wheeler, Arizona Wilder, Kathy O'Brien, and there's a ring of truth to what they all say, and on many, many different dimensions, they all concur. Their stories concur. The descriptions of what was done to them concurs. Now, anyone can copy what someone else says, I suppose, but the inside information they have as to who's controlling these things, and then what comes out through political circles, when people are describing how Henry Kissinger is running things in the White House, going into the White House, regardless of who the president is, and basically laying out the riot act as to what the intentions are of this new world order, and to hear Dr. Rowney Kilda talk about the hoax of the swine flu, And again, she comes out with a statement that Kissinger is laying this policy out before the Bilderbergers, and it causes a 50-50 split down the middle in the group, that some of these countries are not going to tolerate what they're putting out there. So then you have to ask yourself, well, who are these clowns actually working for? Who are they the puppets for? Who's pulling their strings? Well, it's the Rockefellers, the Rothschilds, and the rest of the Illuminati families. But then who's pulling theirs?
Right. Well, it's the dragon himself. I mean, that's the bottom line.
Well, we've been through this topic before on a number of occasions, and I think it's becoming clearer and clearer to us that we were right all along about this. How exactly they're going to pull this off, I think they're improvising it as they go along, because there's so much truth coming out right now, and there are a lot of people waking up and taking a stand against all of this oppression. They're questioning their right to do so. They're hearing the stories, although, you know, the mainstream is like being at Disneyland. They're so far afield in delivering a morsel of the truth about this. And you've got the Dr. Henry Nimans of the world peddling fear while he's adding up the hundreds of millions of dollars that he'll make from licensing, and he never once makes that declaration that he's got a vested interest in these vaccines being put out there. Not because of a pandemic, not because of the spread of disease, but because of his secret financial interests as a licensor of certain technologies. And over the weekend, believe it or not, in reviewing some of the participants of the aforementioned events that occurred at Virginia Tech, they lead to Novartis again.
All roads lead to the Club of Rome.
Yes, only this time in San Francisco. But it's just amazing. It's amazing that I can start at one point and it takes me right back to the same place again.
Well, that's right. As Dr. John Coleman said in his book on the Committee of 300, you've got these groups. Novartis is deeply involved in the computer technology. That's obvious by Orly Tate's husband, Joseph, as you showed in your research as well. But you've got all of these supercomputers with artificial intelligence. Again, technotronic era. That's exactly what Brzezinski said was being fulfilled, coming forth. The utilization of these supercomputers to produce the events themselves based on a predetermined programming outcome, whether it's 2025 or the year 2050 or even 2012, you know, whatever the number they want to see it happen, there's got to be a systemic series of events to make the desired outcomes reality to them.
Yes.
This is exactly what's happening.
Yes, and they map these out, you know, for those that maybe are a bit lost in what we're talking about. They basically create an end result that they're after, and then they feed the computer with a series of particular events that they know they can produce. And if we do this, where is that going to take us? Is that going to lead us there? What do we have to do to achieve these goals? And they can map these things out and modify them pretty much at will. They always have the benefit of going back to that program and tweaking it a little bit. And I suggest that that's what they did with this Fort Hood incident.
You go back to the report issued to the Joint Chiefs of Staff back in 1996 by means of the Verity computers, owned again by Veritas Corporation, which brings those Vera chips, ladies and gentlemen, the programming microchips. You also have Verizon, the telecommunications giant. They just don't rise out of nowhere, okay? They've got these computerized programs doing this great work, and you've got this report issued where they wanted to see the primacy of the U.S. military globally as the sole remaining superpower and basically a controlling order in 2025. Well, as the report shows, to make these things occur, in the year 2009, they predicted a major pandemic of influenza. This is this again reported in 1996.
Yes, and I made the suggestion on Drew's show today. We were talking about the manipulation of the food markets and farm subsidies and how they created an artificial shortage of food by paying farmers not to grow it. And then shipping, the foods that we had produced here in this country out of the country to put other markets out of business by undercutting the prices of the local growers. In Mexico, for example, that's what they've done. So what happens is those workers come here to earn a living.
Right.
And they propagandize the dumbed down Americans into believing that there are jobs there that we won't do, and they just make this declaration and people just take it hook, line and sinker. And then they certainly know which food companies are going to make money now because they put most of them out of business, and then they can move in with their genetically modified foods, create an artificial market, an artificial supply and demand, intentional, so that they can drive up the prices and then impoverish everybody. It's so obvious what they're doing at every stretch. And they're doing this in with this pandemic thing as well. Telling people, don't worry, vaccines are on the way. No, you have to worry about that they are on the way. That's the issue to worry about.
Absolutely. I received a call last week from on my show on the Rents Network, a friend of a woman called in, and she said, "I've heard you discuss this. I thought you were really fear mongering and exaggerating, but I got to tell you, my good friend, 8 months pregnant, went in on the advice of her OBGYN, received the first first shot intramuscular. 3 days later, she was having a C-section deliver a dead baby. And
yeah,
she says, it hit home to me. How many more of those are happening? It's not coincidence. Not at all. Not at all.
Yes, and most people are in so much denial that they can't fathom that anyone would do this intentionally. That's the whole point. You know, we're not asking people to believe us. Just look at the data, look at the information, and see if it doesn't make sense. Use your own common sense and make that decision.
Watch the YouTube video with the Gardasil girls. Just go and again. On the YouTube search engine, Gardasil victim speaks out. After 2 years, you'll see Brittany, beautiful, beautiful young girl with her whole future taken away from her. And the vast majority of people that I've interviewed, mothers and even the crippled victims themselves, every single one that I've just had the privilege of interviewing were either a combination of GPA 4.0, very brilliant girls, very active, some, cheerleading, just like Miss Jennings, they're athletes, very high performance athletes. And these are the ones that seem to be hit the hardest by this Gardasil toxin. not coincidence. They're targeting the best and brightest. That's the scary thing.
Yes. Well, Dr. Ott, we're about out of time, but short of thanking you for coming on the show again, I want you to know that if you are interested in having Dr. Rashid Buttar on the show next Monday, he has offered to do that if it's amenable to you as well as possible for him to fit into his schedule.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
I think it would be invaluable for the listeners to hear the two of you discuss this issue, and the story of Desiree Jennings' miraculous recovery is just fascinating. You have to hear this man speak, and I'll be sending him some things. If you have anything in particular you want him to read, let me know.
Well, please invite him to be a guest on the Story Behind the Story. I'd love to have him tell exactly what happened and go with that as well for my listening audience.
Well, only if you have me on with him. No, I'm just kidding.
Not a problem.
I'm just kidding. In fact, I'm going to be on your show tomorrow with Dr. Mike Castle. And,
yes, we are.
Now, is that both shows or is that just the afternoon show? Let's clear that up right now.
Let's do both. I mean, the more the merrier.
Okay, so I'll be on RBN from 2 to 4 p.m. Pacific, or I mean Eastern, and that is 11 to 1 Pacific time for the extreme coasts, the left and the west. Oh, what do you say, the left and the right coasts. And then your other show airs at 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, and that's on the Rents Radio Network. Both
that's
are
right.
called The Story Behind the Story.
That's right.
Well, I appreciate you staying up so late, especially after all the radio you did today, and all the work you're doing, all the research, and taking care of people, too, at the same time. Virtually around the world. So I look forward to the shows with you tomorrow as well as your return to Evident Footprints next week.
And I hope our good friend General Jeremiah will be safe and see fit to reschedule. He was scheduled to actually be on the show, but other events have precluded him from coming on tomorrow. Hopefully he'll be able to reschedule soon. So.
Yeah, well, I'm sure that when possible, he'll do that. He has been on this show twice, totally unannounced, totally surprising us, but very profound message. And people are coming to see what's really going on in the universe, and they'll see. They'll eventually, for themselves, be able to see firsthand. And it won't take a long-legged Mac Daddy to convince him.
Right. Well, thanks so much for Don and for all the work you do. You're a fantastic researcher. So keep up the good work, and you keep safe yourself.
All right, I will. And you too. And, again, our hats off to all the research and the hard work that you're doing. And I'll talk to you tomorrow.
Fantastic. Be safe.
Okay.
Goodbye.
Folks, you've been listening to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com, Wind Talkers Radio Network, and on BlogTalkRadio.com. And our special guest, Dr. A. Truat, Ph.D. and N.D. Join me again tomorrow evening. By the way, if you can, listen to those two shows again. The first show will be on RepublicBroadcasting.org, and the name of the show is The Story Behind the Story. There's a holiday coming up here soon, and there's a big get-together of some U.S. Marines. I have scheduled for tomorrow night, God willing. Drew Malone Raines III will be our special guest. We may even have a few more Marines on the show tomorrow. So I'm looking forward to that possibility. Hopefully we won't have to make a schedule change. Special thanks to Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible, Seth Hendrick on the sound, and most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. Special thanks to Barry for calling in with his question and comments. And I wish everyone out there a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.